On Monday, April the 8th, our group interviewed Italian director Alina Marazzi about her films We Want Roses 2 and For 1 Hour More, and how they relate back to feminism as a whole. The first question in this podcast regards how her use of motherhood in both We Want Roses 2 and For 1 Hour More, and how it contributes to feminism through the depiction of the female experience. Later in the podcast, Marazzi goes into how her use of different mediums contributes to her telling of the second wave feminist movement in Italy and women's issues during that time period.
I mean, I can try put myself in someone else's, in the spectator's position and see my films, you know, all together as, you know, a path. So the foundation moment, the first film is a film about the mother. Mm-hmm. So it's not that this was a planned project of mine to be working along these lines, but I was urged to make that film because I had a personal urge to, you know, go and look for my lost mother through those traces that I found. And so I was really moved by a very personal motivation. And while working on that film for all that time, and so reflecting not just about my own personal story or her story, I started to realize that her story was also significant and of other things. And it was very interesting for me once the film was finished and the film came out and I was starting having feedback. Many older women of the age my mother would have had related to that work very much, and they started to give me feedback, and I realized how much of what is in the film, not so much to with her, the specificity of her story, but the things that she says about the fact that she feels constrained and influenced and somehow pushed towards a direction. Mm-hmm. All those things were shared by so many women, and I realized that that personal film meant so much to other women and men, in fact, as well, to people who during the 60s, so before 68, were feeling the urge or the itch to change things, but maybe, you know, the big wave of change hadn't arrived yet and they were still isolated. Mm-hmm. And didn't realize that their, you know, concerns were in fact the concerns of others. And so it's really in the 60s that, you know, all the movements started to actually produce some breakthrough things. And so to go back, trying to make order in what I'm saying, is that by working on the film on the mother and reflecting so much on my relationship to that figure and her story, she's also having, you know, she's confronting herself with the image and representation of her mother, who belongs to a previous generation. So it's like a triple confrontation, it's like a triple mirroring somehow. And so I realized that working on the mother was for me, on an artistic level, the starting point of a work that I could, or in fact I did, pursue and carry on. So then I wanted to work more on the context of the 70s, and this is the reason why I made Vogliamo anche le rose. But it's true that it's like, okay, if you don't confront yourself with the mother, then you can't go further somehow. Mm-hmm. So this is what I did anyway.
We Want Roses 2 has such a variety of different kinds of footage. Can you just talk a little bit about, like, why you chose to use certain clips, certain, like, mediums via, like, interviews, advertisements, just because there's so much in the film. Can you just go into a little bit how or why you chose those mediums to depict the movement?
Yes, because I, since the start, I had this image in mind of making a film that was like a kaleidoscope. That was I wanted the film to be very colorful, very like a patchwork in a way, with many different bits and pieces that could tell the story from many different perspectives. And with different languages and genre, because I, yeah, when I started doing the film research in the archives, I was looking at different things. I wasn't restricted into just documentary or newsreel footage. I thought that other ways of, other means of expression, such as advertising or animation, could very well express the mood of a time. And then in that film, I also went to look specifically for films made by women. So the first films made by a collective of women, and also made by women filmmakers, especially an Italian woman filmmaker, Adriana Monti. For the third diary, I'm using a lot of her footage shot on Super 8. She was making experimental Super 8 films with her friends, and she was hanging out with the feminist collective. So she was already producing that kind of imagery and vision. And so also my main concern was to find material, film material, that would show what was happening inside people's homes, rather than depicting, you know, the street guerrilla fights, the demonstrations and so on, of which, you know, there's plenty for the 70s. And I was more interested in the more intimate, if not home movies, but also experimental movies, underground films. And so I made an effort to go and look for that kind of imagery, which I thought would well represent the spirit of the 70s.
Yeah, absolutely it does.
And so I was interested in creating this language. I wasn't sure it would work, but I thought, you know, it could be effective, it could be fun, if, you know, if it would work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely, it keeps your interest. A little bit about that timeline at the end of We Want Roses Too. And when I first saw it, it was kind of ominous, almost, just in, like, the length of the timeline and how some of the events weren't necessarily positive or beneficial for the feminist movement. So I guess I'm just wondering, from, like, your own perspective as the filmmaker, what was the purpose, or, like, your purpose of putting in that timeline? And then also that last final found footage shot of the classroom, where they're talking about legal rights, just what mm-hmm. was your intention in putting out at the very end of the film?
About that shot, in fact, it was a shot that I loved very much, and I thought at first, I tried to put it at the beginning of the film, mm-hmm. in fact. It was like the starting point, you know, the beginning of the film. It seemed to me at some point that it would have been a good way of starting the film. But then I started the film with the other footage, with the woman in yellow and so on. And then, but I didn't want to not use that shot. So in the end, we thought with the editor that it would have been a good idea to show it at the very end, after, you know, you think the film is over. But in order to sort of quickly, it's like trying to remind the audience that that is the, you know, starting point. So okay, all of that has happened, but remember that not so many years before, maybe just 30 years before, women, okay, those women are very simple women from the south of Italy. They're peasant women who don't know how to read and write, and they go to school for the first time, and they are taught that they have rights. Okay, so they hardly understand mm-hmm. yeah. what they've been told. But so, of course, those are not the women living in Milano then, you know, going out to demonstrate for legal abortion. Of course not. But somehow it's it was a powerful image to show the kind of confinement that women had, you know, were kept for many years. And so this is the reason why I, yeah, the shot is there at the end of the film. And as far as the timeline, I felt that because the film is never didactic in a way, but it shows things in, I wanted the film to come across on an emotional level. I didn't want to sort of say this, you know, this is history. History is told through the words of the people, and especially the three women. So history is told from the perspective of the personal experience. And I felt that it would have been helpful at the end of the film to just point out a few dates and a few information, some information, in order to contextualize what we had just seen. And yeah, because the film has got also this very fast pace and is very dense, and at the end is like, ah, okay, you know, it's a film, but look, you know, right, this is what the context is in terms of the laws. It struck me, for me, it was also a matter of putting, putting the emotions and the words and the faces and the bodies of the women and the men in the film against the facts and the laws that seem to be always to come much later. So the laws are late compared to the awareness right. of people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that's why it's part
of the recording.
Yeah.